Let's read together the Word of God from 1 Peter 5. The Word of God in 1 Peter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And then the rest of verse 5 is the sermon text tonight. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory, by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So the sermon text is that last part of verse 5. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Are you sure, beloved, that you're wearing the right clothes to church this evening? Sure of that? Are you going to wear the right clothes to work tomorrow? Whether it's in the home or outside the home really doesn't make any difference. You need the right clothing for your work. And I'm not talking, of course, about this evening, about whether the men are wearing a suit and tie and white shirt. That may be important in its own way, since we're in God's presence. But that's not what Peter is talking about here. Not talking about whether the ladies are wearing a dress or something else. That's not our concern this evening. But Peter is concerned about our spiritual clothing. Yea, all of you, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. two reasons for asking you that question this evening about clothing. The first is that we are pilgrims on a journey. We saw that this morning. On a journey from here to heaven. From this life to that most blessed life to come, which no eye has seen or ear heard, can't even comprehend yet. We're on a journey, and that's the main concern of this first epistle of Peter. And in these last verses of chapter 5, he has some good practical advice for us as travelers. Advice that anyone who's done any serious walking or hiking or climbing will understand. In the verses that follow, verses 6 and 7, he says to us as travelers, don't try to carry too much. In verses 8 and 9, he says, and watch out for wild animals along the way. And here in our text, be sure you wear the proper clothing for your pilgrimage. That's what he's saying. And anyone who's tried to hike in the mountains, for example, with a pair of Sunday shoes and a suit on, understands that for our pilgrimage, we must have proper spiritual clothing. The other reason is there at the end of the verse. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Whatever you're busy with, whatever you're calling in life, Peter says, if you're not wearing the right clothing, God will stand in your way. He gives grace, the grace that's necessary for every area of our life and for all of our calling. He gives that grace to the humble, not to the proud. So with that in mind, the theme this evening is clothed with humility. And again, we're going to do three things. We're going to take a good look at that clothing, what it's like, what humility really is. You know? That's the first thing we're going to talk about. Then we're going to talk about putting on that clothing, because that's what Peter tells us to do here. Be clothed with humility. And he even suggests that there are altogether too many occasions when we are not wearing the proper spiritual clothing as we go about our earthly business. And then we're going to talk about where that clothing comes from. That's one of the reasons why we have to put it on. So those three things under the theme, clothed with humility. What's humility? What's this clothing like? What do you find when you hold humility up like a garment in a clothing store? Well, the answer to that question is, first of all, in the word humility itself. Humility is a way of thinking. That first. It's not only that, but it's that first. A way of thinking about yourself in relation to others and in relation to God. The word that the Apostle Peter uses here is a word that could be translated and is translated in Philippians 2 verse 3 as lowliness of mind. Lowliness of mind. That's humility. A way of thinking about yourself, but you don't think of yourself the way the world does. I'm the best. I'm number one. All that kind of silly nonsense. But you think of yourself in relation to others as the lowest. That's humility. And you can practice that right now. Think of the other members of the congregation. And think of them with lowliness of mind. Philippians, I just mentioned that. Philippians 2 verse 3 actually explains that when it says, let each esteem other better than themselves. Think about that as you think about one another. The person in the congregation that you don't get along with very well. The person in the congregation whose life is maybe a bit of a shambles. When you think of them, seems almost impossible, of course. But when you think of them, you have to think of them as better than yourself. Imagine that. That's humility. And if you don't, you're not humble. That's why I said, think of one another. Especially those members of the congregation who, for one reason or another, you don't think very much of. A rare virtue, isn't it? Humility. Esteeming others better than yourself. A way of thinking. Is that even possible? It is. It is, beloved, because humility is also a way of thinking about God and about yourself in relation to God. And before God Himself, seeing yourself for what you really are as a sinner. Maybe you remember that the Apostle Paul calls himself the chief of sinners. He was practicing when he said that, practicing what Peter preaches here in 1 Peter 5, thinking of himself as the lowest of all, but thinking of himself that way because he saw himself before the face of God as sinner, totally depraved sinner. And you understand, I trust, that it is only in your own heart, other than the Word of God, of course, it's only in your own heart that you will ever see the truth of total depravity. You won't see it by standing on the street corner. You won't see it by looking around you here in the congregation. But I tell you, beloved, if you look in your own heart, you will understand why Paul calls himself the chief of sinners and esteems himself apostle that he was, the lowest of all in the Church of Christ. That's humility. But humility isn't just a way of thinking. Humility works out into practice too. If you really, really think yourself the lowest of all, as Paul did when he called himself the chief of sinners, then you'll also do what Philippians 2 verse 4 says. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That's humility in practice. You not only count yourself, think of yourself, really do. Because you know what you are before God. Think of yourself as the lowest. But you put that into practice by putting the things of others before your own things. I can't tell you how important that is for the peace and unity of the church. I tell you, if everybody in the Protestant Reformed churches did what Peter talks about here in 1 Peter 5, verse 5, we wouldn't have this present controversy. Controversy and trouble in the church comes about when this is not practiced. And Paul makes that clear in Philippians 2 when he talks about the opposite, strife and vainglory. That or this? And that's why, turning back to 1 Peter 5, that's the reason, too, why that word clothed, you can look it up in a concordance if you want, but that word clothed is a very unusual word. Not in English, of course, but as Peter wrote it. It's a word that actually means to put on a kind of apron that identified you as a slave. You can't tell, of course, a person standing today by what they're wearing. Not usually, anyway. But in those days, you could. If you saw a person wearing that kind of an apron, you knew he was somebody's slave. So really, the word of God here could be translated, be clothed like a slave with humility. In other words, and that's what Paul is getting at in Philippians 2, humility in practice is being the servant, the slave of everybody else. Doesn't matter whether you're an elder, deacon, minister, member. If you're practicing humility and are before God truly humble, then you look at yourself, think of yourself as the slave of all the other members of the congregation. And that's the way you act, too. And you know, I think, a little bit of how a slave acts. Doesn't expect any return, any praise for what he does. So, you work your fingers to the bone. In the church, in the home, nobody notices. Nobody says a word. Nobody acknowledges what you've done. Doesn't matter. You're a slave. Jesus gives an example of that in Luke 17, talks about this slave who comes in from the field, hot, tired, having worked himself nearly to death, who comes in and his master says, "Get me my supper." Doesn't say anything about the fact that the man has worked on his behalf all day long. Doesn't even thank him, Jesus says. Just says, "Get me my supper. And then you can get something to eat for yourself." That's what it means to be a slave. You don't expect anything in return for whatever it is you do, not only in the church, but in the home, in marriage. You understand that? You do what's required of a husband, even if your wife doesn't behave as she should. And you don't stop being a good husband either, because you don't get anything in return what you expect from her. That's humility. Humility in practice. It means humility in practice means you don't complain. When all that's required of you seems to be too much. Again, doesn't matter whether it's in the church or in the home, at work, you do it. And do it cheerfully. And do it for the profit of others. You can understand, can't you, why Peter talks about that here. A rare virtue indeed, even in the lives of God's people. Put that on like clothing, Peter says. And he's talking, of course, about the fact that humility has to be in practice. You can see humility in the person who's behaving in all those relationships of life and in all of his business, who's behaving like a servant of others. See it in the mother who, without complaining, does all that's required of her in the home, really does work her fingers to the bone on behalf of her husband and her children, and who does that without complaint. That's a woman who is clothed in humility, whose spiritual garment is as strikingly obvious as the clothing that some of us wear in our bodies. As beautiful, too. There is no spiritual clothing as beautiful as this. Except, and the two have to be worn together, except those white robes of righteousness which are given by God's grace to every child of God. You can't wear one without the other, or to put it in terms of clothing, it's those two pieces of clothing that match as nothing else does. And only the one who is clothed in the righteousness of Christ will ever want to be or ever will be clothed in humility. I'm going to come back to that. in just a moment. But put it on. Your wives, your husbands, children. The first thing you had better do, you children, before you get up tomorrow morning, is put on not only the clothing that you're going to wear to school, but your spiritual clothing. Clothing that keeps you in submission to your parents, to your teachers, that keeps you from speaking as though you know better than they do. And clothing, too, in relation to the other children in the home or in the school, clothing that makes you act not as the one who has to have the best of everything and who thinks he or she is the best of all, but like a slave. If you want it, it's yours. I'm your servant. Put it on. And as I said in the beginning, when Peter says that, he is suggesting, as I've suggested too, that we don't wear this clothing. Don't have it on when we ought to. Let me give you some examples. There are ministers of the gospel who seem to think that they know better than everybody else. Can't listen to their elders, who in the consistory room and at the meetings of classes and senate, think that they're the only ones who should be heard. And who, in one way or another, set themselves just a little bit above everybody else. Perhaps because they've had more schooling. They may have a nice suit and tie on, they're not wearing the proper spiritual clothing. They're not clothed with humility. The kind of humility that the Apostle Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 4, when he says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants. For Christ's sake. You have elders sometimes in the church who seem to think that their office is only a measure of their own importance in the church. And sometimes they're elected because the members of the church don't look at the spiritual clothing they're wearing, but at their position in the community, the amount of money they have, and all that kind of stuff. Elders who don't do what Peter talks about when he says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, don't bully them, but willingly, not for filthy lucre or whatever goes with that, but of a willing mind. Don't seem to have the time that's required of an elder to deal with the problems and difficulties that arise in our lives. They may come well dressed to your house, but they're not wearing the proper spiritual clothing. They should go home and change before they go out on a visit. You have teachers. Teachers. Who can't listen to the parents. Parents of the children who are entrusted to their care can't listen to them because they have more education than the parents. And because they have more education, think at least, that they know better. Those teachers ought to get a new wardrobe. Spiritual wardrobe, anyway. That's the kind of thing Peter is talking about here. Talking about fathers who think that headship means that you have the right to bully your wife and treat her like dirt. Or who think that headship means that you as husband and father can do as you please. You don't have a husband then who's got that servant's apron on, but who's doing in his home what Peter warns against when he talks about the elders, who's lording it over his family, who's never, ever gotten hold of the truth that there is but one Lord. And it's not him. Talking about mothers who think that fulfillment, what a horrible word, but who think that fulfillment is more important than humble service in the home. And who abandon, it really is that, abandon their children and their husband to find fulfillment elsewhere. They need to get a new wardrobe also. You have Peter is addressing himself to those members of the church. I'm not denying that we must stand for the truth. Stand for it even if it requires our life. But we mustn't be members who do that spiritually undressed. Who push our views, and they may be right, at the expense of the well-being and peace of the church, and who show no care for the peace and unity of the Church of Christ in standing for the truth. Before they do any more standing, they better go home and change their clothes. That's what Peter is saying. He's talking about those members who are always critical of everyone else because no one else quite does things the way they do them. Be clothed with humility, Peter says, to a person like that. I remember using an illustration, a young man in one of the congregations I served who wasn't coming to church and wasn't coming to any of the other meetings and functions of the congregation either. When the elders visited him, his response was, "I'm not getting anything out of the preaching and I don't profit from the Bible studies." And other activities. He had it all wrong. I'm in church, not first of all for my own profit. That's not coming to church with a servant's apron on. But I'm in church, first of all, of course, for the glory of God. And then for everyone else. And only last for myself. You understand that? If you go home tonight and God was glorified in this worship service and others profited, if in no other way, by your presence here, but you got nothing out of the worship service for yourself, that was a successful worship service because your needs don't matter as much as the glory of God and the profit of others. Got that? That's where that young man was so utterly wrong. We should profit, of course. But if we put our own profit first, then we don't know anything yet about humility and are not, as Peter puts it, clothed with humility in our worship of God. And that's not just a bad thing for ourselves. Because if you're not wearing that clothing, the clothing that's recommended by the Word of God, then you're wearing the kind of clothing that Psalter number 201 describes. Psalm 73, verse 6, Psalter number 201, the third stanza. It's describing the ungodly, and you don't want to wear their clothing, do you? Describes them this way, in garments of boasting and violence decked. Not fit clothing for the church of Christ. And when the members of the church are not wearing that kind of clothing, then you get strife in the church. So put on humility. Wear it in your home, in the church, to work. Show yourself to be servants. Servants of God, and because you're servants of God, servants of others as well. Especially of his people. How do you do that? Well, I think the answer to that question has been implied at least. You learn and get in your heart and believe the glory of God, those great truths of Scripture that start with his glory as the sovereign God of heaven and earth, as the Creator, as the only Savior. When you learn those truths, then you are putting on humility if you really learn them, because it is impossible to stand in pride before him, so great and so worthy of all honor and praise. But then you learn, too, your own utter wretchedness as a sinner. You understand that when you act proudly, you're really denying one of the doctrines that we confess, the doctrine of total depravity. You're saying, in effect, by your actions, when you act proudly in relation to others, you're saying, I don't believe that at all. I confess it with my mouth, but what a lot of nonsense that is. I don't believe that. If you really get in your heart who you are as a sinner, then you are putting on humility. You have to be. And learning what the Apostle Paul in Philippians, and here too, calls lowliness of mind. And you learn too, of course, what and believe what God has done for us in Christ. Stand with your mouth open when you think of it. And say, what hath God wrought? That's how you put on humility. It isn't difficult, except, of course, that we are those sinners that we were talking about who continue, except by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, continue Adam's rebellion against the Almighty. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Two reasons. First reason is a warning. Mentioned that at the beginning. God resists the proud. You know what that means? You behave in the ways that I was talking about earlier. Husband, wife, elder, pastor, member of the church, doesn't make any difference. You behave like that. God is going to stand in your way. That's what Peter says. You want that? Do I want that? I hope you don't. I don't. God standing in my way like he stood in Balaam's way. When Balaam, in his foolish pride, thought that he could do his own thing in spite of what God in his word had said to Balaam. God resists the proud. Think of yourself as a pilgrim. That means, simply, you're not going to make much of any progress in your spiritual pilgrimage if you don't go clothed in humility. He gives grace to the humble, grace to the husband who's servant of his wife and of his children. And headship does not contradict that. That's what headship is. And if you don't understand that, you don't understand headship. To be the head of all is to be the servant of all. Wife, church member, you want to do whatever you can possibly do for the well-being of our denomination and of the different congregations, be clothed with humility. You want to stand for the truth? Do so. You must. For the sake of Him who is the truth. But when you stand for the truth, be clothed with humility. Practice that lowliness of mind that we talked about earlier. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. God will bless that. But there's another reason for this. Another reason why you must be clothed with humility. And that's first of all, that someone else, and you know who, purchased that clothing for you. And purchased it with His blood, and with His life. You dare in your homes and in the church wear anything but what He has purchased? And not only that, but that's the clothing He wears. Oh, it is not garments of pride and violence, but the clothing of the lowest of slaves. Made Himself, Paul says in Philippians, of no reputation. That's lowliness of mind for you and for me. Put on humility as a garment and wore it the whole of His earthly life for your redemption and for mine. If that doesn't persuade me and persuade you to do what the Word of God says here, then I don't know what will. I don't think there's anything that will. So, beloved, be clothed with humility. Children, parents, husbands, wives, teachers, office bearers, members of the church. God gives grace to the humble. Yes. You are wearing then, wherever you go and in everything you do, the same clothing, the same spiritual clothing that our Savior wore. Not the latest fashions, who cares, but what He wore. God grant it. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, we pray, Father, for grace and how much we need it to be clothed with humility before Thee and also in our relationships to one another. And forgive us, Father, all our pride, all those thoughts of ourselves as better than others. Forgive us all our sins for the sake of that only sacrifice that our Savior offered on the cross. And to hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.